Episode 169 of Conversation Street, a podcast that we make together.
Hello.
That's right, I'm Gemma.
I'm Michael.
And we're talking about Coronation Street, specifically the episodes broadcast between the 28th of September and the 30th of September. Why are you laughing?
Because you said specifically.
What am I supposed to say?
I don't know, you just sounded very...
It's not like I said specifically.
No, thank goodness for that.
But I'm
You're very formal today.
I'm trying to make a different introduction that sounds professional. You've ruined it.
Sorry. Hello, happy Thursday, everybody. We're recording this on Thursday today because there's no Corrie on Friday because of the rugby, I assume.
Yay, rugby's brilliant.
Also, it's Gemma's birthday.
Hand egg games.
Cancelled Coronation Street for Gemma's birthday tomorrow.
I told them, I don't really want to do notes. Can you either send me it in advance or cancel the whole thing?
Yeah,
and they just cancelled it. It's just spiteful.
So, we're coming at you early with a shorter episode this week. Corrie history. It's Edna G's 80th birthday this week, or it would be at least. I assume she's still going. I don't know.
I'm actually her reincarnation.
No, no.
Who?
Edna G. Edna
Who's
G.
That?
She was Fred G's wife.
Of course, Fred G.
You don't know who that is.
He's the DJ. Fred G.
Shut up.
DJ Fred G.
No, you don't know who it is. Fred G.
I don't know. I've heard of him before.
I've
heard his name.
Edna G was last in it, and she had a bed and breakfast, I think. She came back, yeah, she was in it like in the 80s with Fred, and then she came back for a little bit in the 90s. 40 years since the first appearance of Fred G. Have you heard of Fred G still?
Who's that guy? I've never...
Him with the glasses. 34...
Is he the DJ man?
No, shut up. 35 years ago since Annie Walker lent Bette her dress. Do you know what this quote refers to?
Yes, I do.
Bette, you've got it on backwards.
You minx.
She put it on backwards.
You saucy minx.
That was funny.
That was funny.
Funny scene, classic
Ten
scene.
10 years since Kelly Crabtree discovered her boyfriend, some guy called Lloyd, I don't remember him, was two-timing her.
That Lloyd, he sounds like a nasty piece
like
of work, doesn't he?
Villain.
I'm glad he's not in it anymore.
Yeah, good.
So we'll talk about street talk now. Should we do that?
Yeah, let's move on to that bit.
Okay.
Street talk time, talk about the street and stuff that happened.
Yeah.
That's a jingle. Do you like it?
Finally, listeners, we cannot... Yes, it's lovely. We can't call the Callum storyline the paternity dispute because David's
won
it.
It's over now. It's just over.
So we have came up with the quandary of what we're going to call the storyline now. I did think Killer Kylie would be quite a good one.
Yeah.
But we've got a different one because... And this is going to be one of those ones that we have to tell a very long story about what on earth this title is.
What do you mean? It's really obvious.
Is it? Oh, go on then.
What's Keep Callum and Carry On?
Keep Callum and Carry On.
Everyone gets it.
Because that is what David and Kylie are having to do. They go, keep him under the garage.
Literally, it's two letters off.
Keep. Yeah, I know,
Of the famous phrase everyone hates.
Yeah, but we're going to call it that.
And it would be even less if he didn't spell his name with two L's.
You sometimes write it with one L, don't you, when you're writing the notes?
That's because one of my writers is Callum with one L.
And what's your excuse for spelling Yasmin wrong every time you write her name?
I don't know.
No Z.
S. Is it?
Yes.
Why is she called Yaz then?
Nobody calls her Yaz.
I do.
We just say that to save time, but Yasmin is a Y-A-S.
No, is no one else calls her Yaz?
No.
Yazza, good old Yaz.
I don't think so.
Oh.
Second storyline we're going to talk about. Will Webster wed window washer? Because now it has been put into question, hasn't it?
It has been thrown right into doubt.
We're going to then talk about the odd couple and then losing hope.
I love that one, storyline.
And then some stuff within his ears.
And then Yazza and the gang.
Yazzing it up.
Yazza and the gang.
At the end of it. We'll talk about that at the end.
Right. So let's not forget what happened last week, and that is... RE, to wit, Callum, was murdered by the evil murderess...
Kylie. And shoved up Kale's manhole.
Shoved right in there.
And he's still there.
And then...
Gemma, have you accepted that he's dead now and he is not going to escape or anything?
There's no proof. I'm sorry, I don't know why they're worried. I would be saying there's no way he's...
way he's alive. Yeah, he's got cemented over, didn't he, on Friday? And now they've got this dead drug dealer underneath.
No, they don't.
Nobody knows. So, David is busy staring at the cemented floor earlier, and then he gets a call from Milan. It's Gail in Milan.
Hello, it's me. girl, I'm in
Everything's
Milan.
Fine.
I'm fine.
Everything's fine. He's fine. She's fine.
I've got some tortellini okay. and I'm enjoying myself.
But Max isn't fine. You've been having nightmares about Callum this week.
Everyone in the Platt household is undergoing serious psychological stress from...
They are trauma. Traumatised this week.
Okay, I'm going to admit Callum's dead. From a poltergeist haunting. Okay, there's an oppressive atmosphere and it's just going to culminate into things flying around, small items catching on fire, mysterious writing appearing on the wall, maybe some blood stains starting to seep through the cement.
Oh yeah, that'd be
good. Let's not forget, we are in October, the best month of the year.
Oh, do you think there could be some Halloween scary Callum stuff? So,
just say, if they're an alternative universe, I was in charge of Coronation Street, it would be a very different show.
Well, yeah, it's American Horror Story season, so yes, we love that as a programme, don't we? Yeah.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say that I am empathising with Max this week, because I also share the trauma of Callum Nightmares. I haven't had another one since last week.
What are you talking about? Oh, yeah.
Remember my Callum Nightmare
Well, Kylie...
It's terrible.
Kylie promised David... No, Kylie tells David that she promised Max he will never hurt them again.
And Max, David also kept tools held on that this week, doesn't
they? They need to be very careful about what they say to Max about this, because the police are going to come looking for him again, and he'll be like, Mum and Dad said that Callum's never coming back. How do they know that?
They've got to be really, really safe with what they're doing. They keep dropping all these hints that us as viewers understand.
Exactly.
But, I mean, honestly, the police have got to be useless if they don't pick up, especially from Sarah.
Sarah's so pathetic.
I still got no problem with her acting that way, because I like how the different characters have all got different reactions to it. David is literally keeping calm and carrying on. He's the man in charge. And
Good job, we've got a man there. Good job.
He's the one that's having to keep calm with it. Kylie's the one that was actually involved in the murder, and she knows that she has to do it. And then there's Sarah, who's like gibbering wreck. I think if they all reacted in the same way, if they're all like David, it would be boring.
I can totally see that, but I don't, you know, it just bugs me that it's always the woman.
I like how Kylie said that it was going to be a bit of a Princess and the Pea situation with Gail, like, sensing
Callum's corpse
through the floor.
And then Nick's telling Sarah that he heard her crying in the bathroom, and she's like, oh...
No, it's fine, it's fine.
I'm on my period or something. Women's stuff.
Yeah.
That's what she needs to say. And then
she tells Bethany that she doesn't need to worry about it. I'm just waiting. How long is it going to be until Bethany finds out? Because I don't want anyone to find out for like 2 or 3 years at least. If it gets found out within the next month or year, I'm going to be really gutted. This to be a long-going...
That's already been going on for years already.
No, it's not. It's been going on for a week.
No, the whole Callum thing. I don't want it to be another year-long storyline.
But I want them to, like, forget enough about it.
The most exciting character is dead.
I want them to kind of forget about it and get used to it. And then have them discover it. Because Colin Fishwick was underneath the factory for, like, a year or two, maybe. And it was like, it would have been good if he'd been under there and, like, the viewers had known.
I want it to go somewhere now. This is what happened with Tracy and Carla. Like, what's going to happen next? Guess what? Nothing's going to happen next.
I know.
We've just decided that's the end of the story and we can't be bothered to do it anymore.
Yasmin's on the case, isn't she?
Yasmin's on the case, but we can get to Yazza at the end, aren't we?
Okay. So, Marion turns up.
New development. The teacher mum. Favourite teacher mum.
Who's not been able to be in the programme too much because teachers are so overworked. I can barely do
this podcast.
I don't
know how she's got time to go around during the day
looking for missing sons. I mean, I wouldn't even notice. If I had a son, I wouldn't notice if he was missing for a couple of days.
No, you wouldn't, unless he was in your class. In which case, you'd be like, that's good. I don't have to do that marking.
Anyway, she's starting to get a little bit worried. And
I haven't heard from him since last week. I think he's missing. So it's like, oh my God, I need some air.
Yeah, so Marion has to chase her down the street.
She's in the pub, by the way, when she says this. So, and Sarah works there, and so Sarah says no, me and Callum have split up.
I'm surprised. So Callum has obviously been spinning this yarn about the fact that he and Sarah are still together, because it's been quite a while since they've been split up now, hasn't
it? Also, the way Marion's talking, it makes it seem like she talks to Callum all the time, but surely Eda said, oh yeah, that Sarah told her to do one.
He's in such dodgy kind of business. He must like never be at home because of all his drug stuff.
At
home? Well, he doesn't live with his mum, does he?
No, he doesn't live with his mum.
Hmm.
Yeah, he's so a grown up drug dealer, Michael. They've got their own apartments.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, she obviously thinks that he's like this perfect family man now, because she says, oh, I know he's had a bad past and everything, but he's settled down and he's turned a leaf and everything. So obviously she thinks that Sarah is still part of this. Anyway, takes her inside, and it's all just a bit awkward because Kylie obviously knows Marion from when she used to go out with Callum.
Yeah, yeah. So everyone's dated Callum apart from
David's still playing it cool.
She's saying, oh, I'm really worried, his car's found burnt out.
That must have been pretty terrifying.
Something terrible's happened to him. And then she starts showing them pictures. They always do this, have you noticed?
Yeah.
If anyone's ever missing, I'm going to make sure I've got lots of lovely child pictures of them.
Well, you have to get him ready for the police, don't you? To look through his photos.
Oh, what? Yeah, my son's missing. He looks like this, but age him up about 10 years.
Yeah, you've got technology, you can do that now. It's all very
clever. What they do when the child's been missing since they were little. Not for people that can't be bothered to...
I'm sure they've got plenty of publicity photographs of Callum Lake to give. Anyway, David just gets fed up about it, doesn't he? Because she's saying about how wonderful and lovely and perfect
he's turning a corner. No, she's saying he had a dodgy past, but he's turning a corner. And then David says, look, no, he's been drugging it up. He drugged Sarah. He's been roughing
up me Nan.
Yeah, exactly. So Marion leaves. And when she goes, Sarah's hyperventilating and saying, I can't cope. And Kylie and David are like, stop making it all about you, Sarah. You're not the only one who's going through drama.
Yeah, and Sarah calls Kylie a murderer as well.
That's
so there
really
is
mean. She saved her life.
I know. She'd be the one that was dead if Kylie hadn't come along.
If I was Kylie and she did that, said that to me, I would have slapped her. Because I'm in a soap, see?
Yeah.
In real life. You don't slap people in real life. But in a soap, you would still give her a slap, wouldn't you?
Yeah, if there's no beer to throw at each other, that's how you
get your own back. Yeah, like a glass of squash or something, like a bag of Quavers. Just throw it on her. Yeah. Empty it all over her.
Anyway, before they can get any more into this argument, there's another knock at the door. Who else could it be? It's the lovely Gemma.
Yes.
Minding to know where Callum is, because she has also not seen him for a week.
And she knows he was going there last.
Yeah. And I felt pretty bad for Gemma, although...
I didn't.
Why?
Everyone was saying that they really liked her in this episode, and I wasn't impressed.
Obviously. I wasn't too impressed with the acting for this time. She seems a little bit simple, doesn't she? Not the actress, but the character.
No, of course, yeah. I know that's what you meant. So it's difficult to know. Like, is this just not great acting, or is she just...
She's like, her world revolved around Callum in a way, and now he's not there, and she's like, she's regressed.
She's got a very particular way of talking too, like really slow, and very, like her voice is so wide. It sounds weird to say that, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyway,
she barged in, she makes herself at home, she says, I've got a text and then nothing, does he mention Denton? I think Denton's got him, something's not right, you know something. We've got to do something.
Yeah, she turns on Sarah.
What else
she,
did and... he say? Did you give him the money? And they're like, no, we didn't have the money. And she starts asking Sarah, like you say, and then David says, get out.
But
and
she's
she
still,
starts begging Kylie to help her because she doesn't know who else. She hasn't got any friends.
No.
At all.
Well, Macca's done one once ago, hasn't he?
He'd done one ages ago.
I think Macca's underneath some manhole somewhere, and
wouldn't be surprised
Callum's just been pretending about that. So anyway, because I felt the slightest bit of feeling sorry for Gemma when she was like asking Kylie for her help. She was like, yeah, I've got nowhere else to turn to now. And then she refuses to leave and starts eating the biscuits and stuff, doesn't she? She gets a text though, because Kylie has gone out, she's snuck out with Callum's phone, and she sends her a message saying, Denton's on my case and he's gone underground, which is another one of those nice little double entendres that they've enjoyed inserting into the programme this week.
Loving it, aren't
so
they?
Gemma is satisfied by that. So does Gemma then do one? Oh no, not yet, she doesn't. So Gemma then, she's happy about Callum, but she starts saying, well, what's wrong with Sarah? Has she got an anxiety thing or something? And David just wants to get rid of her now, so he gives her taxi money. Then she wants more taxi money, she pinches the magazine, she pinches biscuits, and she goes. So, Sarah...
I don't know how that's different from any other relative visiting you.
Taking all the bins,
taking all the biscuits, mouthing off, demanding things, and then leaving in a huff with cash in their hands.
So Sarah starts panicking again because of this phone. She's like saying, look, you're sick in the head, you're playing with this dead man's phone now. I don't know how you can be so calm about this. And they said, no, it's fine, we'll get rid of it. So that's kind of about it, isn't it? Sarah gets freaked out later on in the pub when Tyrone starts talking about, do you believe in ghosts? And Kylie has to calm Sarah down in the back of the Rovers at the end of the episode, because she's like, look, if you carry on like this, we are going to get caught. And Sarah's like, oh, I don't know.
It's just like she wants to get caught. It's so stupid.
Well, she's the one that feels like ashamed to be involved in it. Kylie is obviously...
She's obviously been sheltered in Milan. No crime happened. I thought they had the mafia over there. That's why she didn't come back like some kind of mafia mob. What are they called? Mole.
Yeah, that's it. Kylie's kind of used to the low world of Weatherfield, isn't she?
Scum.
Although she still hasn't...
Let's face it, yeah.
She doesn't. It's not like she doesn't care that she killed him, but she knows that...
Of course she does, but she's used to all this crime and strife. And David's, like, almost killed Gail once anyway.
Yeah, and I think both David and Kylie, what's keeping them going is Max. And they know that if either of them or both of them end up going to jail over this, then Max isn't going to have anyone to raise them. Yeah, whereas Sarah...
Bethany is a law unto herself, and she's not going to be taken away, you know. She's grown up now. She can come visit you in prison. You can't really have a baby can come visit you, but you can't really talk to them.
Mm.
They're really boring, aren't they?
Little does Sarah know that if police found out exactly what David and Kylie have been up to, that it would be small fry how she was involved. She didn't know he's under the manhole, does she?
Why didn't they just leave him where he was and tell the police that he... I mean, they murdered him for all the better reasons. Police don't mind. They're like one less criminal on the streets.
Yeah, they wanted evidence to take him into custody, didn't they? So.
Well, I mean, are you really going to get in that much trouble for bonking someone on the head that was trying to kill your... sister-in-law.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because there's like self-defense, but this isn't self-defense. This is having a weapon to protect. It's like protecting your property or whatever, isn't
it?
No.
I think that's different because
I don't know how it works.
No, you're not allowed to. This is the trouble with this country. In this country, we've got this kind of crazy system where people have been put in prison for if somebody breaks into their house, attacking them and killing them.
Mm.
Right, in America, it's like, if you don't do that, you probably get put in prison yourself.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's the same thing as somebody breaking in and then attacking. I mean, he didn't break in, though. I don't know why I'm saying that. But he was in their house attacking Sarah.
It makes you wonder what you would do in that situation. I know Kylie's kind of rough, and you think, well, she's from the streets where kind of people get whacked all the time and stuff.
She didn't try to kill him, though.
No.
She hit him with a wrench.
And it's like... If you walked in and you saw somebody was going after your sister-in-law or whatever, and there was a wrench or something handy...
Of course you would hit them.
Yeah, I mean...
You would. And this is the other thing that you're getting at, I think, a little bit, is that you're also not allowed to have a weapon in your house specifically in case you get broken into. So, like, say you have a baseball bat, you're going to have to then explain why the hell you've got a baseball bat in your house.
Yeah.
Because it's going to look very suspicious. Baseball. Yes. And you've got to have a reason why it's there. You can't, like, because that's, like, premeditated then, isn't it?
But this was
not even hers.
She came in, the wrench was there.
And let's be fair, she reacted. It wasn't even made of metal. It was made of some kind of foam. So it's not his fault. Her
no,
fault.
You're confusing it with the behind-the-scenes stuff now, aren't you? I suppose that's all very well in hindsight, isn't it? You panic and things like that happen. But it does make me wonder what would have happened
if
she...
It's because they moved him. Yeah, if they had left him. But then they could have just said, I moved him because I wanted to move him so that I could give him mouth-to-mouth or some rubbish.
You could probably
like
get away with saying because you panicked, to be honest. But then I realised...
No, you wouldn't say that.
I would probably say that.
Oh, my God. You'd get us in so much trouble.
I know.
You'd say something. You'd lie. They would know, and they would probably know you were lying as well. But they'd be like, okay.
I'm not clever enough to lie.
I'd be like, don't ask him any questions. I'm his lawyer.
Can they say, we put him in a duvet, put him under the garage, cemented over the top of him because we panicked? Does that work?
I think that's fine.
Okay.
So he was trying to kill Sarah. It's all just a consequence.
We did it in self-defense.
It was totally self-defense.
We did it for the drama of the plot.
It was a live episode. We had to up the ante.
So that was kind of it, wasn't it? That was Monday. Wednesday, Max starts talking. He has more Callum nightmares.
Attention seeker.
And then he starts talking about David adopting him.
I mean, let's not forget that Max is now an orphan.
I know. It's
half an orphan.
Half an orphan, yeah. It's tragic.
What's that then? A Horfen.
He needs to get a star on his behaviour chart.
He should be... No, he should just chill out.
I put a tweet out about that this week. Anyone noticed that... I've been paying attention to this for at least the past year. Max has not got a single star on his behaviour chart. It's stuck halfway down that green sheet of paper. And no wonder he's a bit kind of off the wall. Got to give positive praise.
Positive reinforcement.
Exactly. Anyway, he wants to get adopted by David. And David realises, hang on a minute. I don't understand how this stuff works. But he says, obviously, Callum can't sign the papers anymore, so adoption can't be an option.
That's a good
Adoption, not story. An option.
Yeah.
But how much...
And then they say...
Because if it was agreed by everyone that Callum was dead, then obviously that wouldn't become a problem because he's missing.
In 5 years' time, he'll be declared dead, surely.
I don't know how long these things take.
Well, they also say they can't move house, so...
Yeah.
They can move house. They just don't mention it on the when you're advertising it. Yeah, don't be like just as a body under there. I don't know if it's going to affect the.
Yeah, don't say that.
Is that going to affect how much we get for it?
Yeah, no. Honestly, I don't know how long.
It was self defence.
Don't know how long somebody's got to be away before they're declared dead. But he's as good as adopted anyway, isn't he? I can wait.
Why is this being brought up again?
Well, because it makes David and Carly feel bad for everything they've done.
Yeah.
And maybe Max has realised that he's been treating David pretty badly this past six months.
He's so mean.
And maybe by saying, I want to be adopted by you, it's like saying...
7 years, you have to.
Oh, really? There we go. That's how long Callum can be under there.
A declaration of presumed death. If the person has been missing 7 years or more, or less than 7 years, and you think they've died, i.e. they went missing during a natural disaster.
Mm. Wow. Does live episode of Soap count as that?
It cost you £480 to get a declaration of presumed death.
Who has to pay that?
I don't know.
Marion. It could be a while then. I say I don't know after all this. I've got no idea whether or not Kylie is going to be caught by this and whether Paula is going to be leaving the programme, because everyone apart from Tracy has got their comeuppance, haven't they, if they've been killed? And even Tracy went to prison for a bit. Can you see, like, a possible prison sentence for Kylie? Or she's going to be the one and only
she didn't
get away with it?
But she didn't... What do you mean get away with it, though?
She still murdered somebody.
Him from killing Sarah.
I know what we said earlier, that's the normal thing.
I know she wasn't... He wasn't actually trying to kill Sarah, he was just trying to slap her up a bit. To be fair, I totally sympathise with her.
I don't think that she's going to be able to get away with it, because that's soap law. You've got to get caught, haven't you?
No, but it's the villains get the comeuppance, and she wasn't a villain. She's a reformed... She's reformed because she was a druggie, and now she's not.
Mm. Well, we'll see where we are, I suppose.
Well, that is an interesting...
If Paula Lane ever wants to leave, then there's got the perfect...
She'd get arrested. Yeah. Let's ask the listeners to write in and tell us, do you think that Kylie should be punished?
Yeah.
In the world of soap law, do you feel that she's a villain, or...
Yeah, and is she being punished enough by the guilt?
The old Lady Macbeth.
Mm.
She's not even that guilty about it. This is what I don't like about Sarah, though. All of the reactions coming from Sarah.
Kylie is a little really, bit, but David...
No. Let's face it, right? The reactions from Kylie and David are to what Sarah's doing, not what's happened. We've only seen a little bit, like David staring at the floor.
When Marion phoned up first time last Friday, Kylie freaked out a bit, didn't she? Because she's realised, I've made this mum.
But do you know what I mean, though? Most of the reaction from Kylie and David is to Sarah overreacting, not to, oh, God.
Yeah, I guess so.
Whoopsie.
Still very exciting stuff.
It is exciting. But I hope your prediction of it's not going to move forward for another 5 years or whatever is not true. Mm. No offence.
Well, to be honest, the Platts could do with a rest, couldn't they?
Well, let's give them a rest and move on to Webster's window washing.
Yes. So Sally is in the doldrums, isn't she, after last week's revelations about her and Kevin's little snog fest.
Tim found out that she and Kevin had a snog because Anna overheard Sophie and
Sally
talking about it in the garden and blabbed.
Yeah, so Sally can't even be bothered to get dressed on Monday. She goes into the shop in her PJs.
What's wrong
for a
with
booze
that?
And her chockies.
That's
she's
a
having
day.
A serious DVD sesh.
Yeah.
And Rita gets involved in this as well, doesn't she? Because Leanne is asking Rita, does Sally still want the bistro booking for the wedding, which is next week? I didn't even realise it was coming up so soon.
It's Monday, isn't it?
And then this is in the shop, isn't it? And so, or is it in the cafe? I can't remember. Anyway, Sophie comes in all mardy about hearing her mum being talked about, and she says, oh, they're just going through a little rough patch.
Shut up, Sophie.
So Leanne leaves, and then Sophie kind of admits to Rita, well, it's actually it's a little bit worse than that. So they decide, we need to do something about this. So they go home. So
Rita goes, stop wallowing and buck your ideas up.
Yeah, basically. And Sally is completely wallowing over this.
Did she live through the war, Rita?
Oh, I would have said so. Anyway, so Sally wants to be alone, but Rita's like, nope, we're going to go out. So
that's what we did when Hitler was attacking us.
Yeah.
We went out to the Rovers.
Tim needs to see you with your head held up high.
We paraded ourselves in front of Hitler and showed him that we didn't care that he wasn't with us anymore. And he got really mad.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I'm excited because it's my birthday.
I know, it's your birthday. It's coming up in like 2 hours, Gemma.
But I've got to do so much tidying.
Anyway, Sally is taken to the Rovers. She's a bit uncomfortable about
being there. She doesn't want to go there. She says she's ashamed and she doesn't want everyone to see her, how ashamed she is.
Mm.
And Tim comes in and she's like, I'm leaving. And Rita says, no, if you leave now, you'll never get Tim back. Pull yourself together and remind him what he's missing. And then she keeps doing this weird stuff where she goes up to him and pretends that they're still going out with each other.
Yeah, that's her tactic, isn't it? Like it was last week.
I think she's doing? It's almost like she thinks he's that stupid that if she just acts normal, he might forget that they've split up.
I sometimes do that when you're mad at me.
Does it work?
No, but I still keep on trying and send you nice text messages with little smiley kissy faces and stuff.
Yeah, and I just go, huh.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't work, but it's a good technique.
No, it's not. It's a terrible technique.
It's a technique.
He tells her to go away, and Sophie says, "Oh, she's been really upset, and she cares about you, and regrets everything." And Tim says, "No, I thought you kept it from me, Sophie. I thought we were mates." And then he huffs off. It's like Sophie's not going to pick you over her mum, you idiot. Why would she tell? Anyway, she's been enjoying lording it over Sally all week, hasn't she, Sophie? Oh, you're so terrible, mother. You're such an awful person.
Well, at the end of the episode, Sally makes her mind up that she's going to go through this wedding anyway, which I think is quite a nice turning point for the story.
Nice twist.
Yeah, so because if you build it, they will come, she said, which is a line from the Field of Dreams, apparently, which I've never...
I don't think it's called The Field of Dreams.
Have you seen this film? I don't know what it's about.
It's
Tim's favourite film.
I thought it was...
Building things.
I thought it was out of... Close Encounters. You know when they're building the mashed potato?
Yes. Oh yeah, if you built the little mashed potato thing, the aliens will come.
Actually, no. It's not, it's on Field of Dreams. The mashed potato was the mountain that they got abducted from, now I remember. Maybe they're talking about that funny keyboard thing and that will be the theme tune that they play when Sally goes down the aisle.
Maybe Sally needs to make a mashed potato bistro and then Tim will come to the wedding. Yes, Gemma, well done. You're getting old and senile now as you're nearly your birthday. 33, you're turning into an old woman.
You told everyone.
Right. So, yeah, this...
She tries to lure him in with dirty windows, because she knows he likes dirty widows.
Yeah, but that's no good
either.
He won't
come over to
wash
them.
This is on Wednesday now, isn't it?
Oh, Tim.
So Sally then has to...
wash my soffits.
She then has to go and get Kevin to help her out, because, I mean, just Kevin's has been talking to Tim a little bit ever since...
Well, they've just made up, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't really want to get involved, but she manages to wear him down in the end. So Tim finds...
It's partly his fault.
Kevin finds Tim in the cafe and says, look, come over to the pub for a pint. Let's get this sorted out. It's not worth splitting up over. So they're trying to have this chat, and Tim's saying, no, it's too late. It's gone. I've changed my mind about Sally. No good. Can't trust her anymore. He goes off to the loo, probably leaving his phone out on the table, as they do. And then Sally nips over and says, Kevin, how's it all going? So then Tim comes out, catches them chatting, realises that Sally put him up to this all the time. Sally put Kevin up to this. So this makes it completely clear there is no way we're ever getting back together. So next person to go to for help is Craig, who helps in the only way that Craig can help any situation currently, by painting a pretty picture.
Through the medium of art.
Yeah. I
wish he was into dance and he could have done an interpretive dance for him.
But it had just been dance over the last 6 months, like it's been paintings. I like this. We've got a new facet to Craig now. I like the graffiti. I like the Maddie tribute. And then it came again with the Caitlin stuff on holiday. And now it's this.
Now
and
I'm getting a bit
bored of art as the salute is Craig's only kind
solution,
of character trait.
Yeah,
it's like,
he likes art.
It's like they've got this resident artist at Granada.
He was good enough as he was. He didn't need a quirk.
No.
I'm
happy for him to have it as a little facet of his personality, but...
It's like they've got each each character, they've got like a personality trait, and then at the side they've got like a quirk.
Yeah.
And they've got to fill it with something.
Oh, like, you got something for Craig.
Oh, art. Let's have art and everything. And like, oh, Sophie, let's make her a Christian. That's a funny quirk, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll find out, see if how sure. quickly they
forget
he's
just
that.
Gay. Put that in there.
So Craig does this abstract picture of Sally, which I didn't actually like. Usually I like Craig's artwork,
no, I didn't
to be
like
fair.
It
I didn't like this one. Sally's mouth
we're probably
going to
find out something like it was a competition that was won by some poor, impoverished child who's going to get a grant to go to university to
well,
study art.
Well, wasn't
something.
That great, but anyway, they hang it up in the street with this "Will you marry me?" sign or something. So
I thought this was going to work.
Did you?
And I was a bit annoyed.
Oh, so she does the big grand gesture thing, doesn't she? Marry me again, marry me, Tim thing, and it's
and
no,
she doesn't
no
kneel
good.
Down properly. She hovers.
Ah, see
that's
that was
why
it then.
Doesn't count.
You're like no good. Don't like it. Your mouth's wonky anyway. You can tell that he still does have feelings for her because,
the
like, what
is,
he said about, oh, your mouth's much nicer than that and everything.
He's, to me, I feel like he's doing it with a twinkle in his eye, and I don't know if it's just the actor having the time of his life.
Probably.
But do you know what I mean?
Yeah. He's like, well, tough luck.
I don't think they can really
is he
do.
Keeping her hanging for that for longer? Do you think, because, I mean, this is the end of the storyline, isn't it? She tells Tim, I'm going to be there in the bistro on Monday, I'm going to be waiting for you. So do you think he's going to come? I don't know, spoiler-wise.
I do.
Do you know that?
No,
you haven't
looked
at spoilers.
You think
he's going to
tell?
No, I know. I just wonder whether you've seen this one. No,
it's really funny at the end when she's like, I'll be waiting for you, Timmy, bye-bye, mwah-mwah.
It's like, how's it going to be? Is it going to be like at the very end of
fake
the episode
out.
He shows up? Or is she going to like go home just as he turns up?
Oh,
or...
God. They could write it any of those ways, couldn't they?
Yeah. I hope they're married by this time next week. But then it completely fits with the personality. I mean, it might just end up that they decide, let's not get married, but let's get back together again. So I don't like Tim and Sally not together.
They should
anybody
just get
does.
Married. I always, anyone who I know who's nice as a couple together, just get married.
Yeah, that makes us happy. We like weddings.
Yeah, no one invites us to weddings.
So I hope so. But I don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows?
We don't
know.
We'll find out next week.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the odd couple.
But
that
will they get married?
Will they,
Chloe,
won't they?
Be shockwaves
will
if
they,
Roy
won't
and Kathy
they?
Got married.
Will they find Callum's dead body? Won't they get married? Will they, won't they?
So,
the theme of the week.
Roy and Kathy.
Will Hope have cancer?
Or
not? Will she, won't she?
Roy and Kathy are having a date on Monday. Well, they're going to have a date anyway.
No,
Roy tells Anna that he wants to take Kathy somewhere else, somewhere to eat.
Dinner.
Like the bistro. So. He
asks
around
to the
and she says yes.
Yeah.
So he gets his hair cut and sprayed and everything, which is all quite funny, isn't it? When he's putting his product in his hair. And he looks very dapper, but he worries it's a little bit too much.
No. Kathy turns up and she's glammed up. And then Sharif says, come into the Jamila house and we need to talk about brushes or something.
Yeah, we've got paint things to talk about.
Paint stuff. And so Roy's... looking
oh,
at
that was sad.
Photos of him and Hayley all dolled up, nowhere to go.
You said that he looked a bit like he was dressed for a funeral, didn't he?
Yeah.
All in black, and it could be a little the funeral.
It's
of the
death of his life with Hayley.
Yeah, started.
It's like
new
Easter, Roy. It's the death and the beginning.
Exactly.
It's the egg. Crack the egg, Roy. Crack it. So he waits at the cafe for a while, and Kathy does not show up,
bistro,
and so
I wrote cafe. It's bistro.
You idiot.
Sorry.
He gets nervous and he leaves. So.
Yeah, Tyrone then finds him later on, doesn't he? And he says, I'll cancel the date because she didn't turn up. But Ty says, oh, she's probably just running late. So he goes back into the bistro and Kathy's there. She's had some run-in with paint or something at the community centre. And they have their nice meal together. But
they
agree
both
that
like, I don't know why we're here. Do you know why we're here? No,
yeah,
I don't want to be
they
here.
Both, they know that this is the kind of thing that couples do when they're dating, but it's not for them at all, is it? They'd rather go out for an art gallery or something.
Kathy tried to come up with ideas and everything they did reminded him of Hayley. And so he comes up with an idea and neither of them likes it. It's like they're doomed. Why do they have to go on dates for anyway?
That's how it works, isn't it? Well, they
can't they just sit around and watch television like every other couple?
Yeah, that's what we did, actually. Yeah, well, they can do a bit of that. They're going to go out and do art galleries. Art galleries are the television for Cropper and... what's Kathy's surname? Don't know. Roy and Kathy. So,
Kathy Hoarder.
I don't even remember what her name is. Anyway, they go back to Roy's for coffee, and yes, it was just coffee. They have a nice chat, and she gives him a peck on the cheek, and then she goes home. So it was all very sweet.
What a lovely date.
And there wasn't anything more on Monday. I think we're just going to like get little bits here and then for that. I think the storyline's kind of over, isn't it? I think the relationship is going to blossom. It's like
they are a couple now.
Yeah, that's what they kind of had to do, isn't it?
And yes.
They're going to be in the background a bit.
And that means that you're going out.
Maybe something around Christmas or something. I think, Alex is going to be back.
Something to do with snow and kissing or some...
Oh, gosh, is there somebody going to make a snowman Christmas of Roy and Kathy and then it's going to remind him of the Roy and Hayley snowman?
Oh, God, please, no. is Kathy going to be Mrs. Claus?
Yes, that is
absolutely. Because wasn't Anna Mrs. Claus?
I think so.
Anyway, losing hope. Best storyline of the week.
Oh, yes. Well, usual. We just had Wednesday, really, didn't we?
Because Monday we find out that the biopsy results are going to be tomorrow, i.e. Wednesday. And then Tyrone asks Billy, can you do exorcisms?
Yeah, that was when he was starting to talk about...
See, they're gearing up, Michael, for a ghost storyline.
I wonder whether this was like the beginning of maybe having Billy being incorporated into this plot or something, like as the unconcerned priest. You know?
Yeah, but which one is he, the old priest or the young priest?
Huh? Oh, from the exorcism. Young. Gay.
We need a gay priest and a straight priest.
Makes it could be that like they turn to religion for.
Do you think that Sarah will start hearing? She doesn't know that he's there though, does she?
No.
But she still might think she can hear him, or and then start to sort of go a bit nuts, because when Tyrone was talking about ghosts and stuff, she went, "Why are you talking about that for? That's crazy. Wait, what do you mean?" And then walked off.
Yeah, she didn't like the idea, did she?
No.
They had that ghost storyline already this year, didn't they, with Blanche?
I know, but it's not...
Always time to go.
You've got to save it up for Halloween.
Okay. Right, so Wednesday, they're all going off to this kiddie hospital, Ladybird Hospital or something. But they're also talking about how they're going to have the best Christmas ever for Hope.
Not at all. Could be the last one. Twinged with sadness.
No, of course not.
Bittersweet.
And they find out that one of her rich friends is flying out to Lapland to see Father Christmas this Christmas. So they get invited in, and yes, she has neuroblastoma. Did you look? You looked this up on the internet the other day.
I looked it up a bit, but it's too depressing. Really, should look at it too much. But I got confused because if you type in neuroblastoma, it corrects it to neuroplastoma, which I can only assume is one of the reasons why it takes 7 years to be a doctor. It's all very confusing. But if you type in neuroblastoma Coronation Street, you get lots of mentions of things that refer to blastoma.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, apparently, if you get it when you're a baby, there's a good chance that it'll just get better by itself.
Is there?
Yeah, it's really crazy. But
well, she's gonna. Well, Hope's gonna.
She's not a baby. No, she's not a baby. No, it can be very serious. And if it spreads, it's like.
Yeah, well, that's what the doctor said, isn't it? Look, they're going to give you chemo and everything. There's going to be lots of in and outs.
Well,
hospital.
First of all, they said, well, it's treatable. She could recover, but we have to find out how. What stage it's at, because as everyone knows, the further along the stages that cancer is, the more difficult it becomes to treat. And they're saying, you're going to have to be in and out of hospital and etc.
I don't want to seem harsh, but like, if she doesn't die at the end of it, it's going to be like this storyline was all for nothing.
You horrible, heartless.
It's like, we've got to have some kind of payoff. I like Hope.
The payoff.
But it's like all this misery of... You know, going through the trauma of my child's
Michael,
got
you've
cancer.
Got to be like, no, why do they all die of cancer all the time? I know it's like real life, but that's not why I watch Coronation Street. I'd rather, seriously, if they want to emulate real life, I'd rather watch them pay their bills and go on Facebook than watch them all die of cancer.
Well, anyway,
they come back home again, and Fizz and Tyrone are just crying, and she says, I want to look it up online, and Tyrone says, don't look it up.
Don't look it up, because they don't know how to spell it.
They just auto-correct it to plastoma, and you'll get confused. And she says, I don't know what to do, and I felt really bad for them, because she seems so sad.
She was a wreck, and it was like, there's nothing you can do in that situation. It's literally a wait-and-see situation. She decides,
I couldn't do it. You know what I'm like? If something goes wrong or something happens, I have to fix it straight away.
Yeah.
This would be my ultimate character test, you know?
Mm. It's like with me being hypochondriac about everything as well, isn't it? I want to look up on the internet.
I think pretty much everyone would find having cancer quite difficult, is what we're trying to say.
Yeah. So she decides that she can't go to work anymore, which is fair enough. Although
he goes, look, I'll keep the job open for you, but we can't pay two people. And she's like, oh. Why would you get paid because you're for not going to work?
Yeah, maybe she changed her mind again afterwards.
Can she not work from home?
Is the reason that she can't go to work, is it so she can have these hospital visits?
Well, no,
because
yeah.
otherwise, or she,
well, they're
she's going to sit home and fret,
you know,
for a bit longer.
With my mum's, you know, my mum's doing her radiotherapy at the moment. Mm. She has to go to hospital every day.
Mm.
And it's only for like, they only have to be in there for about 5 minutes to get it. Well, the actual treatment's only about 5 minutes, but it's all the, you know, driving there because it's so far away. So each day, it takes like a couple of hours out of your whole day. Yeah. They're going to be having to go on the bus and stuff or park the car there. And what Tyrone was saying about how, oh, so-and-so said that it cost them 50 quid to go visit there.
Can you have, you like, know, compassionate much... leave or anything like that?
Well, if
Is that
you...
only if someone's died?
No, you can... If you've been working at somewhere for 5 years or more, you can have a sabbatical.
Well, she's been working there that long, hasn't
yeah.
she?
Yeah.
Well, she should have, like, read into it a little bit more.
Well, no, all that means is that they keep your job open for you for a year. That's all that means.
Well, that's what's happening, isn't
it? But that's
what
he said. I don't know what you expect them to do.
Well, anyway, by the time Fizz has come back home, Tyrone's already booked these Lapland tickets to have the best Christmas ever.
That really annoys me. What an idiot. And she's going, we can't afford it. How are we going to pay for it? Because, like I said earlier, they're going to have to, all of this is going to cost them money. They're going to have to go to the hospital every day. That's going to cost transportation, parking. Him saying 50 quid a week, that's easy to rack that much up.
Yeah. Going to hospitals is a costly business.
And then you have to have Costa, which is like
£3
each.
Cafe, yeah, exactly.
And then, because you're a bit sad because of the cancer and everything, you need a biscuit, and that's extra.
Exactly.
You don't get free biscuits.
Yeah.
It's pathetic.
Didn't realise that Fizz was now not having any money, so... Are they just going to cancel the plane? I don't know. We this is where we were hoping it wasn't going to go with the whole Fizz and Tyrone falling out like happened a couple of weeks ago. But Fizz just seems to be
gunning
for Tyrone. She wants something to get mad about. She wants something to latch. I suppose she wants something to latch onto.
He's dumb, isn't he? Though. I'll tell you what it is. Here you go. Right, this is my theory. She's not only mad because he has spent money they don't have because she's out of work now.
Mm.
But she also doesn't like the implication that Tyrone is paying out this money as kind of a once-in-a-lifetime kind of best, we need to have the best Christmas ever because next year she might not be here. And I think that's what she's thinking in her mind. Like, it can't be, don't let that be true. Don't go down that route of, let's make this special, it could be her last Christmas.
Yeah, I suppose
so. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think Tyrone had been the one earlier who was going on about best Christmas ever, so... And he's probably saying that because he thinks it's the right thing to do, isn't it? Thinking, I'm gonna make sure, like, this is really great for Hope to show that I love Hope just as much as I love Ruby.
But she is right, though. She might not even be able to travel. They're not going to be able to get insurance. If she's on chemotherapy, she might have to have treatments every day. They just can't book a holiday to Lapland.
No. Silly man.
Anyway, let's not forget, does she not get a Make-A-Wish thing?
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was the only perk.
Oh, that's probably what they'll have. That's probably what they'll have as a Christmas storyline, wouldn't
it? Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Blimey.
What a cheery Christmas.
Yeah.
And yet again, we have to apologise for our jokes and lightheartedness about this storyline, but I cannot cope with it if I'm too serious because it's so goddamn depressing.
Yeah, and close to home.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
Let's do...
My mum had her leaving party at school today. Now she's retired because of her cancer. So.
Yes, everyone's got cancer.
Sad, isn't it? Bloody cancer.
Bloody cancer, that's what the storyline should be called. Bloody cancer again. Bloody cancer part three. After, who was the first one? Audrey's friend, what's her name?
I don't know, who is it?
The one that died, Alma.
Oh, yeah.
Alma, Hayley. They're just increasing the frequency of it. I'm very concerned for the rest of the street. They're all going to die of a horrible epidemic.
Maybe Stuart Blackburn has got nothing better up his sleeve than cancer. Maybe Kate Oakes has got a different disease that she can give people.
Maybe. Anyway, that should be something to look forward to.
Have we got a character of the week this week?
No, we haven't done disease yet.
Sorry, I forgot.
So,
I didn't really do
much. We remember that everyone knows now that Tracy set the fire and killed Cal and Maddie.
And she's kind of got away with
it. She's got away with it because nobody's done anything about it. The police arrested her and then they had to let her go because they couldn't prove anything. Is that not what happened?
I think that's right.
She's just got away with it, basically. Yasmin's getting very flustered because she's just there on the street, like, enjoying her life with Robert and everything.
Yeah.
And so Yasmin goes to the police station and says, yes, indeed, it is true that there's nothing anyone can do about it. So I'm going to take things into my own hands.
And she does so by wailing at
Strahd. She shouts, you're a murderer!
I felt a bit, this week.
I want justice for my son!
I could see that if you were not a Yasmin fan, which I know a lot of people aren't, this week's wailing across the street and being held down by Sharif or Zidane, whoever it was, probably would have got a bit of on your nerves. Because I was thinking, she is hamming it up just a tad.
See, this is where Alia's ridiculous revenge fantasies would actually come in handy, because I would quite like to watch her trying to get revenge on Tracy, as ham-fisted as I'm sure it would be.
Well, they're trying to still decide by the end of the week what are we going to do about it then, aren't we? And they don't really have any idea. But there's another problem on Wednesday. They haven't got any towels at the gym because Zidane's forgot to pay someone.
Such flake turns out
he's too busy looking after Leanne to bother paying the bills to the laundry company. So, what an exciting plot we've got there.
Cancer and towels.
I know. I expected more of Zidane's storyline, our favourite character. But, are we just supposed to assume that he's got too much on his mind with Tracy being revealed?
Or maybe, here's an idea, maybe how old is he? 19-year-old boy? 20?
Nobody knows.
Maybe a child of that age who has recently lost his father and also is an orphan, let's not forget, can't quite handle the pressure of running a business by himself.
Well, Sharif's kind of helping, isn't
he? Sharif just seems to be helping him by going, why have you done that?
Yeah, he doesn't.
If Sharif was truly helping him, the laundry bill would have been paid, wouldn't it?
Mm.
What's Sharif's
job?
Sharif
is pretty useless.
What's his job? I thought he was a partner in the gym.
I don't really know what Sharif's doing. He's a bit...
What is his
he's
job?
Not done it. I don't know. I don't know. He doesn't seem to have anything to do. He just comes in for... Scenes every now and again.
People and talk about chickens.
they seem to be slowly writing Sharif out.
He's just going to keep edging nearer the edge of the screen week by week until he disappears.
No, he's going to get plucked up, pecked to death by his chickens. That's going to be the end of Sharif. You know, imagine him being held down with the feathers flying everywhere, and there'll be nothing left of Sharif at the end of this.
Well, it sounds like something out of The Legend of Zelda when you get pecked to death by cuckoos or whatever.
Exactly. Right, now, I wanted to talk about a character of the week earlier. I assume we haven't had our mind changed by the little Nazir plots there.
Well, it's obviously Sharif.
I think maybe Sally, maybe? I quite enjoyed watching all the stuff with her.
Oh, I really can't pick.
It was an alright week, but nothing super, super stood out, did it? Sally was alright.
Can I just say here and now that I'm going to find it unlikely... That at all that Tyrone or Fizz is going to get character of the week for the foreseeable future, because I cannot give any kind of reward to this storyline.
No, that's fine. I'll let you off with that.
So it's not going to be them. It's not going to be Royal Cathy.
They didn't do enough on Monday.
It's not going to be any of the Nazirs. So I'm left with
for the Platts and the Websters.
And the Websters, and I maybe Timbert for the wrong reasons, because I just thought it kind of made me laugh, because it looked like the actor was enjoying himself too much.
That's a reason. That's a good enough.
But you told me off last week for picking the actor and not the...
No, that'll do. That'll do. I don't think anything particularly stood out this week. It was all okay.
If you don't mind, Your Highness.
No, that's fine. I'll let you off this week. It's your birthday and everything.
It's my birthday tomorrow, so I can do it. Tomorrow. It's my birthday month now.
Yeah, exactly. You can do what you want this month.
Yes.
Right, shall we go on and do a character profile now?
Okay.
Yes, the answer is yes.
We'll do that then.
Okay. Character profile time. We are doing Andrea this week. She has gone but not forgotten. Lovely Andrea, who I'm still utterly gutted at that she left with Craig Charles last week.
I think Hayley Tamaddon must be like, Craig Charles, you total rat-faced git.
I know. She thought she was set there, didn't she?
It really annoyed me watching... her and him together on the Corey Live show, and he was talking, he was like, oh yeah, it's so sad, but I've got to move on and
got to do my Red Dwarf now,
and it was all about him leaving, and nobody seemed to give a crap about the fact Hayley Tamaddon's left, and she just had to grin and bear it and be like,
what am I gonna do now? Panto beckons.
Yeah, great, I'm gonna be the puss in boots, shall I? Well, I'll be Dick Whittington.
She's a bit slap your thigh, isn't she? She's perfect panto fod, which is a shame, because I much, much prefer to stay in Coronation Street. Anyway, we're gonna be having a look back at the short time that Andrew has been on Coronation Street today on our character profile. So we know little about her. She was married to Neil Beckett in 1994. She's got a child unseen on the programme, Jess Beckett. She first appeared on the 23rd of December 2013 and left on the 23rd. Oh no, she didn't leave on the 23rd of December. That's wrong. 25th of September 2015, because she came back. She was in 148 episodes so far. So that's all we had to enjoy about her. Well, I'm still holding out hope they should be back. But, you know.
Okay, so she had played Delilah Dingle.
Yeah, she was Paige in Emmerdale in 2 years.
Between 2005 and 2007, and she also won Dancing on Ice in 2010 for some reason.
Well,
and
she was on it for I don't know how biggest character she was in Emmerdale back then, but I mean,
big enough. I thought the Dingles were big.
Yes, they are. Dingles are the main family in Emmerdale, as far as I know.
They're like the Platts.
I think they are. So she was famous for that, but it was announced in October 2013. Or the Yeah, exactly. That she was going to be in Coronation Street, initially for a short stint, which was later extended.
I've always liked Hayley Tamaddon.
Since when?
Since she was in Coronation Street.
So do I. I think she's great.
She's such a charismatic, friendly, bubbly...
I know. She's great on Twitter.
...person. And I love Andrea's character. She's always smiley.
Yeah, she had a couple of, like, when she was, like, hiding this husband and everything. And she was also kind of... been a bit...
Everyone hides their husbands. It's so embarrassing.
You know what I mean. And sometimes she was like paying Lloyd and Steve off against each other for a bit.
No, you see, this is another thing where I have a certain idea of a character in my mind, and when they do something contrary to my personal idea of them, I'm just like,
no.
They made them do that.
I know exactly what you mean by that. So this was the blurb when her character was announced. Steve will decide to go back to school after he struggles to help daughter Amy with her homework, but his friendship with fellow classmate Andrea is set to cause a stir as Michelle becomes increasingly suspicious of their companionship. Is Michelle right to be wary, or has Andrea actually set her sights on another well-known Weatherfielder? As Stuart Blackburn said, I'm absolutely delighted to welcome Hayley to the show. She's a great actress who I know is going to bring plenty of drama to the famous cobbles of Weatherfield.
I wonder how often he says famous cobbles of Weatherfield.
Probably very often.
Always, when he makes a quote.
Exactly, you've only got 6 months left to say it.
I think it's quite weird that Andrea was doing a course on history. Almost as weird as Steve doing one.
Yeah, it seems to have just been set up for the stats of the storyline. Do you need a course on history to run a hotel?
Almost as weird as anybody doing a course on history at a college that isn't related to some kind of specific qualification.
I can't remember why they
really
said
don't
that
think
Andrew
that
wanted
there
to
is,
do it.
There are very many courses that are just like, just learn about history in general.
I
why
bet
don't
there
we?
Are, I bet there are.
Bet they're not.
Anyway,
who's going to pay money for that? You've got to pay money. It's not like school, you just turn up and it's free. You got to actually pay money out.
Maybe people are interested in learning about.
You can Wikipedia the past. It. 2013.
Yes. So I thought Andrea, it was funny how she was announced, because she was teased quite a lot in the programme before she came on screen, wasn't she? Because Steve was talking, winding Michelle up, unwittingly, I think, by talking about this friend that he's got on the course, saying Andrea this and Andrea that. And I don't think he was really realising that he was talking about her so much. And it was brilliant, because it was getting Michelle's back right up. And he was like, oh, no, she's just a friend. Oh, well, she's great. We can talk about anything.
I have to say that if you were going on about Andrea, I would have hated her too.
I know. But because we... I mean, I don't mind Michelle so much anymore, because we
just
hated Michelle at the time. This is brilliant.
Yeah.
I hope he brings in Michelle and she whisks Steve
he
away.
Brings Sadly in Andrea.
Andrea, sorry. And she whisks...
And he says, Andrea's not good looking.
Yeah.
But then she turns up at the Rovers because she helped Steve pick out a dress for Michelle.
Yes, the green one. And what a stun she was.
Yes.
And she has a mole.
Yes, Michael was obsessed with moles.
Obsessed with people who have moles.
You love it,
beauty.
Don't you? You
it's
really
a beauty
do.
Spot. I know, but if everyone's got a big mole,
I don't have
say.
A mole, do I?
No.
No, you're annoyed about that. So Andrea also catches the attention of Lloyd.
Yeah.
At the time. So that's what happened in that year.
Yeah, she was only in like one episode that year.
Don't forget she was introduced in December, though.
Yes.
So in 2014, she convinced Steve to stand up to Michelle because she wanted him to get a vasectomy because she thought she was pregnant and she didn't want to get pregnant again. And apparently... she cannot think of any other form of contraception than to snip off the balls. That's what that is, isn't it? Snipping off the balls.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
It must be.
One of the teachers at school's getting that done soon.
Chipping off the balls.
Yeah.
It's more hygienic for men, I think. Don't they say that? Especially makes them less aggressive. Or am I thinking of dogs? Michelle imposes a sex ban.
Yeah, Steve says, well, Andrew, you come study with me then. So he knows that what makes Michelle kind of...
So he's mad. Like using studying with Andrea as some kind of surrogate for having sex with Michelle. Which, to be fair, sex with Michelle or studying history, it's difficult to know which is worse, isn't it?
I know what I'd choose. Anyway, I did love the relationship.
Did you get in history again?
Hey.
There you go. See, oh. Now we know.
I just love the relationship between Steve and Andrea.
Steve and Andrea and Lloyd, sorry. Yeah,
yeah. Steve and Andrea was the best at the beginning because they were just so total mates. And, like, they would, like, rub her hair. And, yeah, like you did at the end. And, like, it was so much like, won't they? And it's like they both kind of fancied each other a bit, but neither of them could really imagine it. And Steve knows that this is never going to work because I'm with Michelle. But I'm going to get a little touch of you if I rub your hair and stuff.
A little touch of you? You creepy weirdo. Lloyd decides to ask Andrea out, but Steve won't give him her phone number because he's jealous.
Yeah.
And then Andrea overhears and gives Lloyd her number herself and they end up going out with each other. And Steve gets worried that he's going to be left out. And then Andrea is pleased about that because she is actually more interested in Steve than she is Lloyd.
Yeah, she starts going out with Steve to try and get to Steve, but it doesn't.
No, Lloyd gets with Steve.
I got my names mixed up.
So, Andrea and Steve are studying together, and she falls asleep, and she starts hugging him, and she thinks he's Lloyd.
Yeah,
and then they both get covered in Steve's kebab, which is a euphemism.
For?
I'm not going to say. Well, Michelle enters and says, "Sex ban."
Steve has to protest his innocence. Getting a bit close. So anyway, I
didn't like this bit. We discover the only reason I like this storyline is because Neil is brilliant when he did that little song.
Yeah.
So we discover that Andrea has a secret husband who is called Neil, who has been working on an oil rig.
Yeah, this is when Lloyd was going through his heart attack things, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he was off in hospital and Andrea couldn't see him properly because she was getting worried about Neil coming home. So they'd been married for like 20 years or whatever.
They've got a kid together.
Yeah, but it's the spark has gone from their relationship.
Neil's concerned, they're still happily married.
Well, good enough. Well, I think he might realise
it's good enough. That's the marriage... pledge, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's good enough.
Well, she ends up confiding in Michelle and saying, look, I've got this other husband, sorry. But then Lloyd finds out, so they split up. But it was only temporary, they're back together before long because Andrea says to Lloyd, look, it's over between us, the spark is gone. So Neil then turns into utterly creepy stalker man, starts hanging around outside Lloyd's flat and driving slowly past them, singing Atomic Kitten to them. He thinks that Lloyd and Andrea are engaged. I can't remember what Lloyd said to make him think that. And he climbs onto the top of the Rovers to protest. Which was interesting scene.
Immortalised in Lego
later on, yeah. So Andrea has to coax him down, but she ends up on the roof with him. Basically, Neil finally accepts and moves off to... where's he going then? Do you remember?
Oil.
Somewhere. It's not Kuala Dubai Lumpur, is it?
Or something, I don't know.
No, I can't remember. Somewhere foreign.
Like Wales.
Yes. And, so they're all... They can... Lloyd and Andrea are a happily couple now, aren't they? So, this year... she was speaking of oil rigs.
It wasn't an oil rig.
I've written oil rig there.
Lloyd ended up on a Norwegian fishing ship or something.
On Steve's.
He fell asleep during Steve's stag do. So she got left by herself.
Yeah. Andrea kind of has been left by the wayside a little bit for a lot of this year, hasn't she? She's petered out, hasn't had much to do.
It kind of annoys me when they get really good, like, double acts, like, say, for example, Deirdre and Ken. And I'm struggling to think of someone else. And then one of them goes, and they're just like, oh, God, I don't know what to do with them now.
Mm.
Just put them in any scenes.
Andrea was there to be the other half for Lloyd, wasn't she? Yeah. Although I think a lot of people would say that they didn't think Andrea or Lloyd did have that great chemistry. I don't understand that particularly. But anyway, she didn't do much this year. But we start to find out that something's going wrong with her daughter, Jess, who moves to Amsterdam and then refuses to speak to Andrea. But until
they
never
really go anywhere with it.
No, they didn't really go anywhere with Jess. It turned out in the end that she...
Andrea's personality as well.
A little bit, yeah. Because Jess needs this rent money, and Andrea decides to sell Lloyd's records to get the money without telling Lloyd. And
she steals his stuff.
Yeah, sells it and then gets guilty, gets ashamed,
and then she leaves. Clears off. She leaves because she feels bad and she wants to make it up to him. So she returns a few times to try to talk to him, but he's going out with Liz, and then she buys him the record bag, doesn't she? She gets a loan. I don't know why she couldn't have done that in the first place. And then she turns up pregnant and with a job in Jersey.
Yeah.
Which is such a strange set of circumstances that it could have only been made up.
And then off they go. And that is sadly basically anything that Andrea did in her 448 odd episodes.
And apart from being awesome.
Yeah, and I don't know why. She was just, like I said, she was always bright and cheerful and chirpy and big grin and...
just happy.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what would have happened if you had said, what happened to Kirk in the last 3 years? Nothing really. Nothing really. But if you got rid of him, I wouldn't like it.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So, the exit was announced in the 28th of April this year. And she said, I came into Quarry for 3 months and I've stayed for 2 years. I would be so sad to leave and I hate Craig Charles. No, I would be so sad to leave and I've had the best 2 years of my life here. It really is one big family. Everyone looks out for each other and I've made some incredible friends. I'm excited about my exit storyline and the fact that it's part of the live episode. Quarry's given me a great platform to hopefully go on to work on other dramas, but I'd never rule out a return to Weatherford as I love it so much.
She's basically, since the end of April, been banging on about the fact that she doesn't want to leave. She really wishes she could stay. She was joking about... I think originally they must have had it that live episode was going to be their last one before Simon Gregson pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
And she was all joking, I'm not going to get in that taxi or I'm not going to get in the car in the live episode. She really, 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 I think, was hoping they'd say, oh, let's
all just... All right, just leave her in it.
Yeah.
Because she sadly isn't no. the guy who plays Billy, the vicar, yeah. her friend.
Yeah, I think so. It's sad. It's so sad. I think the thing about Andrea is, like, a lot of the other women in Coronation Street are like... can be Moni Fishwives, and sometimes that's fine because it's all about women dominating and some women's world and everything.
It's about women being
powerful.
Like assertive, isn't it? And she's never really been like that.
No, but she's not a pushover. Her and Lloyd were total equals in that relationship, and there's not that many relationships on Coronation Street where the partners are equals, so it was quite nice. And I don't understand why people didn't like her. I really don't, because I think that she is fab.
She really, said, really me and good. Craig are leaving together and hopefully one day they might bring us back together. I'm so in love with Corey, it's just an amazing job. So one hopefully, of many quotes. Red Dwarf goes completely down the pan, even more so than it already has, and Craig Charles comes back to Corey. I don't think he wants to come back.
I don't think Craig Charles wants to come back. So all of this leaving stuff, regret about leaving, has been from her. I mean, he said, oh, I don't really want to leave, but I can't keep asking for time off when he's been asked about it. But he's not been on social media or anything half as much as she has, saying how sad
because he is to leave. It's another job for him, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, Red Dwarf is his kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, if I was him, it would be no choice. I would have gone back to Red Dwarf. I mean, well, it's not been good, has it, Red Dwarf?
Well, just the last couple of series.
No. The whole Red Dwarf is great. Everyone loves Red Dwarf, but its comeback has been pretty...
Yeah.
Rubbish, sorry. But
Craig Charles been the best actor of it.
Craig Charles is saving it, I guess. I don't know.
Mm.
It's difficult.
Yeah, we've had this...
You can't be the one who goes, no more Red Dwarf.
I know.
If someone's going to pay you to do something situation. That you love, even if it's a shadow of its former self, you're going to take the money, aren't you?
I don't know whether they think it's a shadow of its former self.
I don't know what they think they're doing.
I think they honestly think it was good.
Do you think other people think it's good? Because I think it was terrible.
It was not good. I don't know what other people think. Because I used to be totally obsessed with Red Dwarf, as you know. And I had all the videos. I watched all the episodes. I could almost quote every episode line by line.
You went to see one
live. Yeah. And like this last series of Red Dwarf, I watched once. And I don't even think I've seen it more than once. And that's...
I don't even remember what happened.
Not much, to be honest. But anyway, we're not talking about Craig Charles. We're talking about Andrea. And I so hope that Hayley Tamaddon, if she doesn't come back to Corrie, that she gets a good job somewhere else, like back to Emmerdale or drama or something. Because... I just think she's utterly fab.
Yeah, I wish she was my friend.
I was going to say that.
She can be our friend.
Yeah, I don't know whether she listens to the podcast. Now. She hasn't got a new job to go to. Wouldn't it be funny
if she was like, in secret, she's just a raging bitch to everyone. And she's like, when the camera's finished, she's like, oh, thank God, that's over, darling. Where's my trailer?
Oh, she was. It made me feel better about her going.
Craig Charles, utter dimwit. You're such an amateur. oh, I can't believe we've got a word together.
Mm. That would make me feel a bit better, but I don't think that's true. I think she's actually nice.
And she wears furs and, and smokes around children and things.
Oh, well.
And drinks.
At least we've got Jenny Bradley coming back.
Yeah.
Why not both?
Why not both? Why not both? Why pick?
All right, I haven't got anything else to say about Andrea, so should we move on?
We've just gone on about how brilliant we think she is for half an hour now and move on to something else.
Yeah, let's go on to the cabin.
Cabin. What can we say? Congratulations, Samir Gardi and
Longchambon.
Is that a real name?
He's French.
Longchambon.
Longchambon. Yeah, they've had a baby called
What does that mean?
Nothing. It almost means long ham, but that'd be long jambon.
Long jambon. They're now proud parents to Eve Joseph Longchambon.
Yeah, he was named after his brother and Samir's late father. They kind of got the name from that. So this baby was born.
So Yves Saint Laurent, is that a bloke?
Yes, Eve is a boy's name.
Is it?
Yes, yeah,
I thought it was like a weird way of spelling Eve.
No.
What does it mean?
I don't know. It doesn't mean anything.
It does mean something.
It doesn't. Look it up then. Right, you know, this baby was 8 pounds and 9 ounces. Is that good? I don't know whether that's good or not. Is that big? Is that small? I don't know.
I don't know why people tell you how... It's like, what else can you say? Once
you've had a baby, you can compare it to yours.
Yeah, you'd be like, oh, that must have been a bit of a...
How heavy is our cat? We only know that in kilograms. No,
she's like 2 kilograms, so...
It still doesn't mean anything. I don't know
what... That's a bloody huge baby. But the thing is, though, what else can you say? Like, baby was born, and it was really weird.
Severely malnourished. Ooh.
No, I mean... There's no other physical attribute. It looked like Winston Churchill.
Yeah.
Had all its fingers and toes.
Yeah, as far as we know, the baby is fine. So I'll tell you another
thing they can measure. The length of the umbilical cord, that bigot
statistic. Oh, yeah, that would be good. Why do we never find that when the baby's been born?
The placenta weighed 18 stone.
Yeah.
Let's make up some more interesting birth statistics, people.
How many calories do you get by eating it?
Yeah, and how long was the labour and how many calories did you burn doing that? Because you can eat the placenta.
The baby's scream was how many decibels?
Exactly. How many people fainted? How much blood did you lose?
I'd understand that, but I don't know whether 8 pounds or 9 ounces. I don't even know how much that is because I do the metric system.
8 pounds.
I should
know. It's 14 pounds in a stone.
Half a stone, okay. Anyway, that's enough congratulations to them. We don't usually...
Congratulations!
I've got nothing else to say. No more babies, please, Coronation Street people, because I'm fed up with maternity leave storylines.
You can't say that. That's illegal.
If I was their boss, I wouldn't be able to say that, but as a viewer, keep your legs closed, please. That's all.
That's so rude.
Or just do it quietly.
I want to find out what Eves means.
Okay, you carry on with that. I'm going to talk about... the fact that Coronation Street has been voted the ultimate ITV show in Rex Features poll. Because it's,
out of what?
Out of all the ITV shows, because, you know, it's 60 this week or last week. And Coronation Street's been voted, and I suppose that kind of makes sense, doesn't it? I think it would have been a bit of sacrilege if anything else had won that. So nothing else to say. Well done for that. Now, here's another...
Apparently it's just a saint's name.
Oh, okay.
And it's Yvette. And Yvonne is the
that's female lady form. Okay.
The lady form.
So, Inside Soap. So the short list are out. So we had a long list ages ago when there were millions of votes. Yeah.
Awards, rah, rah.
Yeah, so we're going to whiz through the short list. You can't vote for it unless you're on the panel. But anyway, this is who is going through.
Oh, I am on the panel. Believe
Simon
me.
Gregson could be Best Actor. So good luck to him. We've got Alison King for the Best Actress. Best Bad Boy, Sean Ward has got a nomination.
See, Apache's not dead. Otherwise, how could he even get an award? Doesn't make sense.
Kate Ford has got Best Bad Girl. Sally Ann Matthews, no longer on the list for that. She was on the long list, not the short list. But like we said, she's misunderstood. Funniest Male. So we got Joe Duttine and Simon Gregson. So I think they've got... Who would you choose out of that for the Funniest Male? I think still Simon Gregson, to be honest.
No, but he had depression. It's one of these things, like...
Sally's the funny one in the Tim and Sally relationship. I know Tim has his moments, but she is the funny guy, isn't she?
She's the funny guy.
Yeah, he's a straight man. Funniest female, Patty Clare. She's showing her face again. I haven't found her hugely funny recently. They haven't given much to do. Lucy Fallon is there, the best newcomer. Good luck for that. I don't know what the other soaps are like, but Bethany is kind of growing on me a little bit, so who knows.
She's growing on me.
Colson Smith.
She's growing on me more now she hasn't been in it so much.
Colson Smith has got a nomination for the Best Young Actor, and I thought IPV does really, really well on that because he's been great this year. Not been in it loads, but what he has been in with the Faye storyline and all the art stuff.
Why not Faye? Why has she not got a nomination?
I don't know.
Well, she had to squeeze out a child with a 15-foot umbilical cord.
I think kind of... For among Coronation Street viewers, it's generally accepted that Colson Smith, everybody kind of likes him and wants him to have
have great success.
Yeah, whereas...
I want Andrew to be my friend, I don't want Craig to be my son.
Yeah, whereas Ellie Leach isn't quite so universally loved, so...
Well, she doesn't play a likeable girl, does she? No, exactly. To be fair.
We can see through that. Sexiest female.
Oh, good.
Kim Marsh.
Oh, good.
She's like, finally, my chance has come now that Tina McIntyre's dead.
Time in the sun.
Yeah. Good luck for that. She's a nice looking lady.
nice looking lady.
She's a very.
Best. Fine figure woman. Fine looking filly.
Best shock twist. Cal and Maddie die. Yes. That was quite shocking. Well, the fact that they died together in that episode. Best partnership, we got Kim Marsh and Simon Gregson. And best showstopper, the minibus crash. Very interesting that the Victoria caught fire isn't in there. I mean,
Especially considering they chose that as the best shock twist.
Yes, that's true,
actually. Why don't you have a bit of consistency award show?
The minibus crash was pretty good, but so was the fire. I don't know which one
I like found the minibus crash not as great as everyone else did.
I thought that it had some good moments, like when it was kind of dangling over the edge and people going back in.
I just thought they shouldn't have had it at night because you couldn't. It might as well have been filmed in a warehouse.
Well, it probably did. That's probably why they had it at night. And I think the one you can vote for possibly is Best Soap for Coronation Street and other soaps, but of course, who would want to vote for that? So anyway, we'll find out the results of that in about a month or so, I think. And finally, Paula Lane and Tom Shaw, her husband, are opening a drama school on the 10th of October, following in the footsteps of Jack P. Shepherd, who does his little Saturday drama school thing, doesn't he?
It's called the Lane Short Academy Drama School.
Yep, and it's at the Hope Baptist Church at Hebden Bridge. She has said, we're looking forward to the school opening. I know from personal experience the advantages that acting can bring to a young person, and it can be a great starting block to build up confidence in a young person's development, for example, with public speaking and social skills. So good for them. I think it's nice. Nice of them to do something like that. I mean, I know it's going to be a nice little earner on the side for them. But Paula Lane's a good actress, and I think it's quite nice of them to reach out to the community and offer that kind of thing. It'd be interesting to see if she ever gets into any competitions with Jack P. Shepherd's school.
Coaching students.
Yeah. But it's good. It's good. Well done for them.
Yeah, well, no one... Who's saying good for them? No one cares what you think.
Oh.
He's making it sound like Paula Lane's listening going, I hope he approves.
my side ventures.
Oh gosh, if I don't get a good plug on Conversation Street, my business is over before it's begun.
We're giving you free advertising.
Good for you,
Paula Lane.
Good for you. I hope it goes well. 10th of October, everybody, don't forget.
Yeah, be there.
Is it only for children?
Yes.
Oh.
We can't go.
That's right.
It's also too far
away.
Well,
I'm only 32.
For now. For the next hour and a half, Gemma's 32.
Right.
On the other hand, I'm going to be 32 for another 9 months.
Whatever.
Shall we do some feedback now?
Yeah, okay.
Feedback time. We got an email from Tuvor, who is back from around the world travels to... UK, and she says she thought the live episode was really good. Live episode of Coronation Street, that is. I've been predicting...
Yeah, she said our live episode was crap.
No, I think she liked that as well. She says, I've been predicting the death of Callum for months and expected his death, but I really didn't expect it would be at Kylie's hands. Do you think they could make a case for self-defence, considering how threatening Callum had been? This is a bit like what we were saying earlier.
To me, it's really clear-cut, but maybe I'm misremembering.
I mean... I don't know what counts as self-defence, because obviously he wasn't going at Kylie, he was going at Sarah, so it was sister-in-law defence.
And then, but what are you supposed to do? Go, oh, sorry, I just let him kill her because I was worried that I'd get in trouble.
Mm. Well, she says Sarah was certainly in danger, and there might be a case to be made that he would have gone after Kylie next, I suppose.
I'm pretty sure you're allowed to kill people who are trying to kill someone else.
I don't know what you do. I don't think you can. I don't know.
We need to ask the Queen. She'll tell us.
I never really thought Tina O'Brien was more than an okay actor, but she really knocked it out of the park this week, as did Paula Lane and Jack P. Shepherd. I completely agree. They did great this week.
Yeah, they did.
Also, David Nielsen, Alison King and Melanie Hill were superb as well. Yeah, absolutely agree. Now, even though we know it had to be done to facilitate the story, no bus driver who wanted to keep his job would have left passengers in a broken down bus like that.
Usually you get kicked out, don't you?
Yeah, that's what she's saying.
So, get out.
Yeah. Oh, well, it was nice.
It's raining. Get out.
Nice little story plot device, wasn't it? And Tony's...
Especially considering that most the average person on a bus, no offence, I've also been on a bus myself, would probably have set fire to it if they'd been left there by themselves.
Yeah, especially in Manchester.
Oh, so rough.
Tony's idea of revenge was to key Callum's car like a 13-year-old. I wonder if that was supposed to be funny. It was Todd who took advantage of a conveniently running car. Did Todd carry explosives around? Yeah, that's true, actually. How did they explode that car?
Oh, no, I didn't even think of that. I'm just so gullible. I'm like, yes, that's what happens with a car. You never leave it idling. It will explode.
I don't know how you go about exploding a car.
She said, how did they manage to blow up the car without it being on fire for a while first, yet they were able to get well away to safety before it went up? And why on earth would you blow up a car and take a taxi home? You just blasted through the logic of that.
I was just like the average room went, wow, an explosion. Fire. They were walking away from an explosion. They didn't even look at it. They're so
live
cool.
Fire.
That's a very good point, actually.
Yeah.
Regarding the point that Tony and Todd's fingerprints will be on Callum's car...
fingertips still burn on there.
Tony certainly has a motive. Do you think Tony could end up being the one arrested who didn't do the crime, which is a standard soap opera thing? Surely someone is going to get arrested before...
But you don't want it to... You want it to be over, you do.
Well, no. They're going to assume that Callum is dead. I know there's this whole 7 years thing, but I think they're going to assume he's dead. And I think there's going to be some evidence that will link Todd or Tony to the car, definitely.
Yeah.
They'll get caught for
They'll
it,
get
but,
done.
But then I think they could still get let off the hook because something there's an alibi or whatever. And then it's still... It doesn't go back to Kylie and David. It will happen.
I can't see any of the Platts putting their neck on the line to save Tony or Todd.
No, not at
all. So, it leaves the question, doesn't it? Is Jason going to keep banging on about, oh, I want it to call him dead, da, 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 and then one of the Platts is going to tell him, either out of anger, that he won't shut up about Callum, or, like, to put his mind at rest to say, no, he's been taken care of. Then when Tony, presumably, gets arrested, because let's be honest, no one gives a crap what happens to Todd. It's got to be Tony that gets in trouble for it.
Mm.
Will Jason then reveal the secret?
Maybe. David's probably is just going around telling everyone Callum's not going to be a problem anymore and people aren't really reading into it. And I don't think Jason would as well, but Tony's actually got a bit of smarts about him and I think he might
Todd
just...
Todd might realise what he's saying.
Yeah. But nobody else seems to notice, do
no,
they?
No, they don't say, no.
Tony's going to be like, hang on a minute, you're saying you've killed him and buried him under Gail's mantle?
No, I'm just saying it was a grave mistake for him to have come around our house that night.
Grave.
I think he's gone underground.
yeah, that kind of thing is probably bound to happen. And I'll finish off this email. It says, I did feel bad for Kathy, who really put her foot in it by booking Blackpool, obviously not knowing Roy and Haley's history, but I do think someone must have had a transporter because there's no way Roy could have disappeared off in the middle of the beach without a trace.
It is like a murder mystery, isn't it? He could have been in the centre of a murder mystery.
I'd like to have seen like Roy being beamed up or something.
I would have liked to have seen Kathy catch him, like, running off.
I think it should have been.
I imagine he runs with his hands jammed down the side of down his side, and all that moves is like from his knees down, like.
I know. We've already mentioned Doctor Who in the last two episodes, but you know those hand mines in Doctor Who in the first episode too.
I really do.
The hands that came out of the ground and then pulled the people down underneath into the sand. That's what should have happened to Roy.
And he just made friends with the sand people.
Yeah, he probably would have loved that.
Probably.
Talked to them about like weather fronts and
going on about trains, and they just pushed him back out again.
Yeah, Kathy probably went home and he just popped back out right after.
How rude!
Do you want to read the next email? Thank you, Tibor. It's nice to have you.
Rebecca
back again.
Said, great podcast this week and love the live episode of Conversation Street 2. Yeah. Enjoyed the live episode of Coronation Street 2 and I agree, Tina O'Brien knocked it out of the park. Also enjoyed Callum and Roy's scenes as well in the live episode and so happy that Kathy and Roy are now a couple. Smiley face. Hope Tim and Sally can make things up though and love the Lloyd and Steve scenes in Friday and Monday's episode. Going to miss those two so much. Overall, like you two said, I would have given the live episode an 8. I enjoyed it, but wish there had been a bit more surprises, although there were no mistakes.
Mm. Oh, this reminds me. I can't remember who it was now. They they showed like a repeat of Coronation Street at the weekends, as they do, and they said that there was a little bit that was changed, and it was like a camera thing or something, and I wanted to know whether they changed Colson Smith's screw up.
I thought that I heard that they did.
Did they?
I thought I read somewhere.
Oh, that would make sense because they must have it on tape somewhere. I wonder what
they could have just done it in ADR.
What?
You know, additional dialogue.
Yeah, maybe. Thingy. Yeah, it was good. It was no mistake. Like you say, I completely agree. Not enough surprises.
They really could have been braver with that.
Yeah.
But hey.
It's just Stuart Blackburn and his diarrhea with spoilers, isn't it?
Diarrhea.
Spoiler diarrhea.
Oh, God.
I do hope that that the new producer isn't like that. Do you want to read the last email?
No, I just read one.
Okay, this is from Jane, who says, just saw you two on YouTube. Thanks for the Great Life podcast. That's okay. I enjoyed the live episode. I think Sarah is behaving quite naturally after watching her sister-in-law kill an ex-boyfriend. It is true that the ex-boyfriend bit dramatic. Is probably... You forget, I mean, it's a murder, but it's a murder of the ex-boyfriend. That's true. I'd be falling apart too. The actress actually looks exhausted. David and Kylie are going to pull her through. And she also said some nice things about our podcast, saying... One of my favourite reasons to listen is the interplay between you two. Because we're cute and funny, apparently.
We are cute and funny, and it's true. This is what it's like all the time.
I'm the cute one, and you're the funny one.
Okay. You don't like it when people say I'm funny.
Well...
Do you?
No. But I think you say funnier things on the podcast. It's not fair.
See what I mean? You get jealous.
I can be funny in front of a class of children, and they don't get it, but I know that I'm funny, and they just don't laugh at my jokes.
You know you're funny, that's the main thing.
But when I'm recording a podcast sometimes, I'm not quite so quick-witted as you. It's a bit annoying.
And also,
Jane says, you look young. She says, happy 25th birthday. But I've made it clear a number of times in this podcast that Gemma is actually 33 in an hour and 18 minutes' time.
I'd be forever immortalised as a 32-year-old that looks 25 on YouTube, I have you know.
And I'll be there with my receding hairline on YouTube forever, I know, thank you very much.
I could have played Bethany Platt at...
You probably would have got an audition, to be fair. Can you do an Italian accent? Because that probably would have got me the part.
Oh, Mamma Mia, I've come back from Milan.
Perfect. All right, we shall go now.
Yeah, I think we should go before I
get ready for Gemma's birthday. We've got to tidy up the house from before.
I don't want to now.
Can we do a little bit of tidying?
We've got to do the hoovering.
Oh, do we? We're doing
look at all of that. There's dirt everywhere on the floor.
We're having a murder mystery party on Saturday.
I have to tell you that the carpet isn't grey. It's supposed to be cream.
Anyway, our listeners don't
want to
know about it.
Yeah, we're having a murder mystery party, so...
Yeah. Who did it? Kylie did it with a wrench under
the
manhole.
Under the manhole. You're getting confused. If you'd like to email us, tell us stuff like, you look 25 and Michael's really funny, you can do that.
No, it's fine.
conversationstreet@gmail.com. I wouldn't marry if you weren't funny.
Oh, thanks.
It's all right.
I didn't even have a funny response to that.
I know, you just did.
I'm tired. Look, I get up at 5:15 every morning. It's now 11 at night.
You go to bed at like 1 o'clock and it's your own fault. I come in, you're still playing on your stupid... Yesterday, you fell asleep with your mouth open watching YouTube. You can find us at www.conversationstreet.podbean.com. You can leave us a review on iTunes. You can find us on Skype. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook. If you want to find us on Twitter, you type at conversationstreet. But you can just type conversationstreet into... Yeah.
It was National Podcast Day the other day.
What day? Wednesday?
No.
Tuesday?
Yes. Tuesday or Wednesday. It's National Podcast Day.
No, so, I don't care about that. I only care about International Podcast Day.
Maybe it was international. It was probably International Podcast
Day. I don't know
why
it would be National
Podcast Day. International Podcast Day. So we got a couple of new followers because Coronation Street blog tweeted and told everyone else about us. So thank you. We are past 700 now.
When's National Cheesecake Day? And can I also ask, who decides what day things are going to be on? And
Queen.
Who decides whether they get a week or a day? Because sometimes it's like National Sandwich Week.
It's not week very often.
Why can't it be National Podcast Week, International Podcast Week?
I don't know.
I want a calendar that tells you all the days, because sometimes it catches
there
you by surprise.
There's one.
Like, it's National Cake Day. Oh, no, I didn't know. It's International Women's Day. Where's my present?
Do you know what day it was today? Because I saw this on Twitter as well. It is National Black Dog Day today.
National Black Dog Day?
Apparently, because Coronation Street blog posted a picture of Ozzy on Twitter.
National Black... I don't know any black dogs. I know a black cat.
Your mum and dad's dog is quite black.
He's brown, like, bits. He's tan.
This is the longest ending bit of a podcast we've ever had. We just don't want to do the tidying up of the house.
No, that is exactly what happens. Usually when I'm listening to a podcast and they go, if you want to email us, I go, boring.
I know.
End, finish.
I never listen to all those people. So well done if you stuck it out for this.
I've got loads of podcasts with like about 2 minutes left on each one because it's like, nope, not listening to your nonsense.
They really do talk about boring things, don't they? Because they'll just say, well, you can contact me on this, and there's my MySpace page.
You can buy T-shirts. We forgot to mention. We haven't done our
monthly plug.
Don't forget that you can buy T-shirts and other cool merchandise from us somehow.
What's the website?
I know. I don't remember.
I can't remember where our shop is. If you go on to our...
What did I say it was called? I'm the one that found it, didn't I?
Yeah.
I kept if you go onto our blog,
there's a link to it, and you can buy loads of good Coronation Street merch.
Something beginning with an S. Doesn't matter anyway, does it? But I just thought I'd mention it because, don't forget, it's nearly Christmas.
Yes, perfect.
It's October, so it's nearly Christmas.
Perfect for all other Coronation Street listening relatives. Doesn't matter. People can find it. We've really got to end it now because we should have finished about 5 minutes ago. We've got to do tidying.
No.
And I've got to go to bed.
I'm going
to
eat lemon posset.
Yeah, oh, you're going to... Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
The music for this podcast came from podcastthemes.com.